hello, good morning, and season's greetings.
Season's greetings. Thank you for calling the Disney Store on Grafton Street. This is Kate speaking. How can I direct your call?
Oh my god. Merry Christmas, guys. I mean, I'm not anticipating many people are listening to this on Christmas Day, but if you are, Merry Christmas. If not, what day is it? Do you even know?
I hope you have a good Christmas. I hope you enjoy the day, and I hope you are monumentally full after Christmas dinner, because it's the one day where you can be like, oh god, I need to lie down.
Yeah. I have to say though, like, as much as I love my Christmas dinner, I am always buzzing for a leftover sandwich. Like, a leftover Christmas sandwich is like, oh, best
thing
in the world.
It hits different. It hits big different. Time. Have you seen any of those memes and stuff lately that's like, Christmas is the only day where you're happy to like put the leftovers into a sandwich? Like, no one goes, Jesus, we put that lasagna into a sandwich.
Honestly, like, I don't care how full I am. Like, I could literally be aching. I'm so full and I'm like, leftover sandwich though. It's like,
yes,
my
indeed. Oh,
love it. But enough about sandwiches.
Yeah, sorry. Welcome to the Sandwich Podcast.
Oh, don't say that. Craig will start one.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
That'll be the next thing. Sandwich Wars.
Oh, God. Anyway, yeah. Hi, guys. Happy Christmas. Welcome to our little Christmas mini waffle where we talk shit with other podcasters.
Hey. So we mentioned on the last episode, we had a little After Dark Network roundtable with our pals over at Disney Parks and Beyond and the Theme Park Trader, where we just kind of did like a year in review and looking forward to 2021. It was a lot of fun, I have to say. Did enjoy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was. I enjoyed it more than I thought I would.
Yeah, it was good times. So what we've done is the lovely Mr. D came up with four questions, and Disney Parks and Beyond got question one. We got question two, and Theme Park Trader got question three. And then each of the individual shows answered question four as like a rogue one. So what I would suggest you do right now is maybe pause, go listen to the Disney Parks and Beyond episode if you have not done so far. You kind of need to listen to it in order because there's some real stupid jokes that just make their whole way through.
Did you know about the mugs?
And how goddamn festive they are.
So fucking festive, am I right?
But I will be sure to link to both Disney Parks and Beyond and Theme Park Trader in the show notes so that you can go and listen to the guys' episodes as well. They're nice little short ones. Won't take you long. Go walk off your sandwich that we've just spoken about.
I can feel it already. And also thanks so much to all the guys and gals. I say gals, they're only guys. On Theme Park Trader and Nick and everyone for having us on their respective podcasts.
Yeah.
It was a ball.
It's a good time, especially Dan. We couldn't shut him up.
Jesus. It's just, I like your feedback, lads, on how much airtime you thought we got compared to Dan, because my God, would he just not shut up. And like the amount of times he plugs his own show, my God.
Outrageous. But anyways.
Yep.
Hope you're having a lovely festive period. Thanks so much for listening and sharing and liking and all those good things that you've done throughout 2020. It's been a time for everybody, but we've made it. This is the last Mickey Waffles thing you'll have of the year.
Yay. Yep. So happy new year, guys. See you in 2021. See you on the other side.
Bye.
Bye.
It's the beauty of video. I can.
Oh, this is true. So I feel like we were purposely given the ranty question because we were given the negative side of the questions.
So
I feel like this was on purpose.
Suddenly I'm like the ranty person.
I mean, Kate.
If the cap fits.
They're so justified.
So the question that we were given was, what is the one thing you most disliked or were disappointed by Disney by in 2020? Now, before I go around to everybody, I think it goes without saying, if you have listened to any of the three shows, you can tell that we are all absolutely fuming about the fact that they have let so many cast members go. So I think that is overarching and should be every person's major thing that they're pissed off about Disney about. So taking that aside, who will I go? Dan, I'll go to you first. I feel like everyone's picking on you, but Dan, I'll go to you first.
Okay. Picking with love.
Let them get in there first before Ryan jumps in. It's fine.
I think the biggest thing for me has been the delays to the attractions that we've seen. I know it's kind of COVID's fault, but although Universal have been working away, they've built with a new coaster, and yet Ratatouille, Guardians, Tron. I'm trying to think whether there's any other big ones, but they've all been pushed back as a result. Which I don't know if that's a case of Disney being tight as they normally are, and just not sort of pushing ahead with these sort of things, or are they trying to be more health conscious than Universal is? I don't know, but for me that's disappointing.
Yeah, because it's a case of, did they just like not want to pay people whilst everything was shut down, or are they delaying it so that maybe they can have that big massive opening that they like to have for new attractions?
Maybe, but then even still, like the attractions, they weren't all opening this year. I know Ratatouille was meant to be opening this year. I don't know, is it still? It's next year.
Yeah.
Merrily thinking I've got loads of time left for 2020 then.
I think Dan's the only person in the world that's like, oh, you know what I could do with more 2020.
Yeah.
It's still 2 weeks. They could announce something. Maybe.
Still two weeks. An asteroid could hit us.
You know. Have some gun in the air.
But yeah, I think that's the biggest sort of disappointment from me.
Space 2020 is the, or 220 is the other big one you're missing, Dan. That mystical restaurant that
is that ever going to open though? I don't know. That's
big screen restaurant.
It's just a rumor.
Fair. Yeah, no, right, KP, who are we picking on next?
We'll stick with Theme Park Trader. We'll go with Ryan.
Epcot.
Just Epcot.
Just in general.
Epcot. All spot.
I mean, Epcot. Le Fin.
the more we see of the reimagining of Epcot, the less of an
Imagineering is.
Yeah, I mean, you can just tell that Imagineering don't care anymore. I look at the Harmonious floats, like just blocking views of most of World Showcase Lagoon. It just hasn't been thought of. It just feels like they've just gone, right, let's put a structure in place, that'll do, whatever. Let's leave them out all day. What can we do? It's a bit of an eyesore. Oh, fountains, that'll do, won't it? And it just feels like that's the whole strategy for Epcot. We've got Ratatouille, which is, you know, a cut and paste attraction. It fits nicely into France, and I'm not necessarily against it. We've got Guardians, which is the most horrendous building I've ever seen Imagineering build.
I don't know what you mean. I can't see any building, Ryan. It's painted blue. It's the sky.
It's the sky.
It'd be nothing.
Well, no, I mean, the thing is, I think you're being a bit harsh there. I mean, it's clearly, you know, taken inspiration from a trip to Costco.
Yeah, which everyone's been doing this year, to be fair.
Exactly. Everyone needs to get their toilet roll.
They're ahead of the times. But yeah, and they're clearly cancelling things left, right and centre. The Tony Stark-esque festival centre seems to be gone, which looked incredible. And they just seem to be cutting corners with it. And I just, when they announced all of these, classic Disney, they announced all of the illustrations and concept art and everything. And actually, for the first time in quite a while, people were excited about the future of Epcot. But I think this year, unfortunately, has meant that they're just going to be cutting corners left, right and centre when it comes to Epcot. And I have my concerns about the future of that park.
Yeah. Do we think that's down to Imagineering, though, or do we think that's down to the Bob holding the purse strings?
I think it all comes from the top. I think it's two reasons. I think one, either Imagineers or Bob just doesn't understand Epcot, and I get the need to add IP into it. Like, it makes sense, it makes them money, but I think there comes a point where the Harmonious floats, as a great example, you're just ruining the atmosphere of World Showcase by blocking views from quite a lot of different areas. And it feels like what Epcot doesn't need is another Happily Ever After. And it, based on what I saw from Epcot Forever at the end, where they threw in some random new Aladdin for the sake of it, it just feels like that's where Harmonious is going. I hope I'm wrong, but we know it's going to include IP. So, I think it's going to be interesting. It's either going to go amazingly well over the next few years, or Epcot's going to just become a second Magic Kingdom, which will be a shame because I think it will lose its identity a bit.
Yeah, the addition of that Aladdin thing in Epcot Forever. The fact that it was called Epcot Forever for a temporary show in itself was ridiculous. But the fact that they added that in, it was kind of like that live action Beauty and the Beast thing that's just in Illuminations and DLP. It's like, why the fuck is this here?
Stupidest fucking thing.
It's like,
oh, right now Beauty and the Beast is out. Let's put that on the castle 2 years later. What the fuck is Emma Watson doing on the castle?
Yeah, but I mean, you could, I mean, they've got a history of that, haven't they? Because, you know, they did the same with Dreams and Brave. True. You know, like after that film came out, they didn't really do anything with Merida afterwards. But she was still quite a big focal point of that show.
Mm.
Yeah, but the problem there is like Merida is actually beloved by all, and the live action Beauty and the Beast had its time.
What did you expect? You gave us the ranty question. Come on now.
Fun.
This was a massive mistake. See, what I did is I cut the questions into three and just went 1, 2, 3. That'll do. I didn't really pay much attention to the content, and I really regret my decision.
No, you don't. You love it. No, you I love it.
It's the good one, though, because this is a show that everybody can swear on, so it's fine.
Oh, yeah. Throw them in. Well,
in that case, I would like to give Chapek and Josh D'Amaro a square kick in the nuts.
I thought you were coming out with something much higher shirt. Did that even occur?
Yeah.
I'm going to bloody... Where's my glove? I feel like a smacking.
No, I hate the fucking love that people give to Josh D'Amaro. I really hate it. It is completely unwarranted. He turns up at the theme parks and fucking poses for photos. That's his job.
I just like putting his name into the song.
By your logic, you'd also hate Mickey Mouse.
I do hate Mickey Mouse.
He just turns up to take pictures with people.
Yeah. People queuing up.
I don't want to talk to anybody anymore.
To be fair, he doesn't anymore. He's learned his lesson.
Yeah, maybe someone kicks him in the nuts. Yeah. Maybe he can't talk anymore.
But yeah, the love for him is completely unwarranted just because he's a bit of a silver fox. That seems to be basically why people... like he's just let thousands of employees go. He had a play in that.
Is he old enough to be a silver fox, Ryan?
How old is he?
Doesn't look that old, does he?
He's old enough. Come on.
That's how you know he's a good silver fox. Can't even tell.
He's old enough for the kick in the nuts.
Yeah, but the thing is, by that logic, that bloke on Catfish the TV show couldn't be classed as a silver fox because he wasn't that old. He just had, like, white hair.
Oh, yeah.
Is that a very niche? Is that I've just realised?
Are you talking about the guy who does the cameras and not the other guy? I know you're talking about Max.
Yeah. 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 I was very jealous of his hair.
Come on, Dan. How old is he?
I don't know. I can't find it. It doesn't. Wikipedia's not telling me.
So mysterious.
You had the number one.
D'Amaro, how old is D'Amaro?
His name just fits so beautifully into so many songs. How can you not enjoy that?
Oh, I don't.
I think, Kate, after the last time we had Ryan on, I think we've established songs isn't really what Ryan cares about.
Yeah, I mean, if you know the bands that Ryan listens to, I think you'd question a lot about.
Whoa,
anyway.
He's 48.
Silver Fox.
Really?
I thought he was younger, to be fair.
Well, if you think he's younger, then I suppose.
We spent far too long talking about how good looking he is rather than talking about what a wanker he is.
Point.
Maybe this is what happens. That's why everyone loves him, because they start hating on him and then they just start talking about what he looks like.
He turns up with slick back hair and his pearly whites, and you've lost yourself in his eyes.
Yeah. And you just go, that Bob Chapek one, what a fucker. And everyone's like, right,
this bald arsehole.
You slowly moved on, and D'Amaro's like,
D'Amaro is a bit like a red light, and we are all cats, and he just moves around pretty quickly.
100%.
We get absolutely distracted by it. So it's all a plan.
Ryan's that one cat that just hates fun and just like knocks things off the counter.
Yeah, while staring at you as well, like,
yeah,
like,
good definition. Hates fun.
Right, thanks very much, Ryan and Dan. Mr. D, what's something that has disappointed you, or we'll go whole hog, what has really fucked you off this year?
There's lots of stuff. I mean, we talked about, you know, there's the overarching thing about cast members, but in terms of attractions, I mean, I really wanted to see Spaceship Earth get reworked again, because the last one was just such a fuck up if we're using the F-bomb. I remember the iteration before it. That was good. That was sort of classic Epcot. And then they just put in that second half now, which is just crap. And now we're going to have to wait God knows how many years before they fix that. So that was one thing I was really disappointed about. I mean, you know, Ryan's already covered Epcot in itself. I've still got some hopes that some of the visions that we saw, some of the concept art that we saw will come into play and will be pretty good. But I can't not agree with some of the decisions they've made around like that building for Guardians of the Galaxy. I mean, that is just huge. I mean, I suppose there's not a lot they can do about it. It's such a big building and it's going to be a good attraction, I'm sure. So I'll probably end up eating my words. But just from a sight line and theming point of view, yeah, that isn't what you expect from Disney.
There was a time where Imagineering really, really cared about that stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, I disagree with people that say they don't care about Galaxy's Edge. They've done that perfectly in my mind. But
yeah.
I think the Guardians building, it's just horrendous to look at, isn't it? There's no getting around it.
Yeah. The thing is, though, like, I remember when they were doing Guardians in California, and everyone was saying how ugly that looked when they were making the change from Tower of Terror. I think it actually, in the end, turned out quite well as it could be in trying to do a re-theme of it. I mean, who's to say they won't do something spectacular to the actual building? At the moment, it does look bloody awful. Like, it is an eyesore. But maybe there's hope. Maybe that's why it's taken so long to do, because they haven't actually finished what it's going to look like from the outside. And I don't think, unless I'm missing something, have we ever actually seen any conceptual art of the outside of the building?
No, but there may be a reason for that.
Well, yeah, because I've decided.
I think any hope.
It's gonna look like a big shed.
Big Costco logo on the side.
Like a Costco.
You know those square boxes that sit on the outside as a concept art? That's actually the art of the building.
I would imagine any kind of hope we had of having a cool building has probably just been quashed by restrictions. Not restrictions, but like cutbacks due to COVID. I would imagine.
Possibly.
Yeah.
Right, Nick, what's fucked you off this year?
I think the thing that's disappointed me the most this year has been the decision to change Splash Mountain because of some snowflakes. I think it's disgraceful. I'm only joking, I really couldn't give a fuck about Splash Mountain getting changed. I think it's really for the best and well overdue. But the thing that has disappointed me the most this year is one word. Onward.
Deep.
Now, when I went, that was one of the last films. It was the last film I saw at the cinema, because the next thing I saw was the pilot of The Mandalorian at the cinema, and then it closed the next day. But I remember walking out of Onward, and I was like, you know what, it was quite good. Like, you know, Pixar kind of picking themselves back up after Toy Story 4, which I didn't hate, but. I enjoyed Toy Story 4, but I do agree with a lot of, was it really needed? Not really. It was fine. It had a good story, but did we really need it? So I was like, well, at least they've gone back to being a bit original and whatever. And then I watched it again with my wife and daughter, and I was just like, actually, it's just not very good, is it? And I've seen it a few more times at home because of, obviously, you know, lockdown and it being on Disney Plus, and it's just not a good film. The main story in itself is quite interesting. But you've got this world with all these amazing characters but it means nothing. They've just gone with a design. They've come up with a story, gone, right, we've got these characters that we've designed, let's just put them together. There's no logic to it. It could have been set anywhere with any number of characters with any kind of designs. The world itself is really not utilised at all. It just feels like such a missed opportunity. And, yeah, I think it's got a nice message to it, but that's about it. And I just think, looking at what they're coming out with the next few films, I'm worrying that they are now kind of going through the same phase that Disney did, like, back in the early 2000s, where they've coasted on like a run of good films, and now they're kind of just not really nailing ideas, coming up with some good concepts, but it just not executing it very well. So,
where's your question on it? Because full disclosure, I haven't seen Onward, right? And I will watch it. I'll watch it sooner or later. But from,
especially now after my glowing review of it. Yeah.
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, I can't wait now. But you know, looking at the trailer, it looks like a DreamWorks film.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And
it feels very DreamWorksy.
Yeah. And I look at the trailer for Soul, and it looks like a Pixar film.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. So was Onward the complete film? Like the trailer, I mean, was it like a DreamWorks film? Did it feel like a Pixar film?
No, I didn't.
No.
And this is the problem that's happened the last few years, because I'd forgotten that Soul was a Pixar film, because it's got to the point now where everything blends into one.
Yeah, you can't remember which is which, like which Coco, is what movie.
Coco confused me for years. Even though I've seen that film, I don't remember the logo at the beginning of it. I was like, was that Disney or a Pixar one? Because they have, even when they started going down that route, so when Disney started to go from more cell-based animation to CGI, there was still quite a difference between a Disney film and a Pixar film. When they've all gone down that same route, and now Disney have started to do films that you would have thought would have been Pixar films and vice versa, it has muddied it a little bit. And yeah, I don't know. It just I think the DreamWorks thing is probably hitting the nail on the head. You know, it had some good ideas in it, but it just didn't work. And I think the first warning sign is when they released it, because they dumped it out in like February, didn't they? Or the end of February, March time.
Yeah.
They never released films then. It was a very odd time to release it.
It felt very DreamWorksy, and I remember kind of leaving the cinema and being a bit like, oh, this is kind of... And then I hadn't obviously watched it again, and I watched the series of shorts that they released on Disney Plus, the Inside Pixar ones, and I watched the episode about the guy that created Onward. And the whole story is absolutely lovely, and it's all based around his relationship with his brother and all this stuff, and I was like, oh, great. And I watched Onward probably about 2 weeks ago, and I was like, oh, this really is terrible. Like, they hired Chris Pratt to play Jack Black, and I'm like, just get Jack Black.
Yeah.
That's all he did.
Weird.
It's very odd. And I mean, the thing is, it's not awful. Like, I've seen much worse films than that. But I think when you have a studio putting out, you know, a certain type of quality, it felt very low budget.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think the problem is that...
probably cost a lot.
I've got a huge level of respect for, you know, Jennifer Lee, Pete Docter, who are obviously leading Pixar and Disney Animation. But I think that comes with its own problem. They're leading two separate animation studios that are basically in the same way. And I think really Pixar needs to have its own individual lead of animation, completely separate to Walt Disney Studios, if we're going to get the completely separate films that they were once famous for. I mean, the new Buzz movie, I mean, it could be good, but I mean, no one seemed that excited by it at all, other than the initial reaction of, you know, Chris doing the voice.
Yeah.
I am actually looking forward to it, because I think I'm imagining some epic kind of space adventure, which they haven't really got, like a nice sci-fi film, which they haven't really done before. So even though the kind of reasons for doing it are a little bit lackluster, I suppose it sells it easier if you can tie it into something else, even if you're doing an original take on it.
I want to know what happened to Buzz that meant that they couldn't go back to him and get him to record the voice for the toy.
Well, I'm guessing it's a licensing agreement. I mean, it's the same, probably the same reason as why you can't buy a Woody that's voiced by Tom Hanks.
But no, I mean, in the Pixar world, right?
No, in real life.
No, but in the Pixar world, Tim Allen voices Buzz.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So why would they not base the toy voice on the real voice?
Because he dies.
That's what I'm thinking.
Are you spoiling a film 4 years away already?
I hate it when people do that, because you know that's fucking well what's going to happen. I'm going to come back in 4 years' time and go, Ryan, you fucker.
as if anyone's going to remember this in 4 years' time.
Future rants. Storing them up.
But you know what? That's it. I just, you know, maybe it's because of the level of expectation we have got. Maybe that's a privileged kind of position. But you do think when you're looking at Pixar, when you're looking at Disney, you do expect a certain level of quality. And when it doesn't get to that level of quality, it stands out more. If it was a DreamWorks film, you'd have just gone, it's just another one of those average DreamWorks films. But you expect better, and they should have done better. Ooh. And I think the voice cast were wasted. I think the characters were wasted. Look at, you could have made a really good film about that world, and you just did a road trip movie.
Well, I'll tell you, perfect example where Disney / Pixar smashed that is Zootopia.
Yeah.
Where they've told a story that completely fits into that world, and you really engage with it from start to finish. But with this, I think you're bang on. They just wasted the whole kind of mystical world completely.
Well, I really hope they nail it with Soul. I hope Soul's a great movie.
I'm really excited to watch Soul.
Again, to mention the Inside Pixar shorts, the one around Soul, and the kind of like thought process behind it. It looks, and the like extra little details they added in to have it be an authentically Black movie, I think will be really, really great. So I'm very excited to see it.
That's good. I need to watch that. That sounds good.
And again, just to reiterate my first point, fuck anyone complaining about Splash Mountain. that's it.
There we go. Right, Kate, do you want to go or shall I?
You go.
Okay. We'll let you close out the rant. I feel like it's fitting.
Thank you.
Thank you. My one is actually going to follow on from what will there be an episode from a few weeks ago that me and Kate had. The thing that's really pissed me off this year has been Shop Disney.
Inept
way of launching things. They never have enough stock. Everything sells out after about fucking 2 minutes, unless it's that horrific X-Wing Spirit jersey that is still there.
Yeah.
But I just,
as a one-star review, mind my dad.
Oh, I saw that. I don't understand how they're still not doing anything about bots. I don't understand how they just can never seem to realize that Spirit jerseys, especially, and I will just use them as a singular example. Like, those Hocus Pocus Spirit jerseys sold out in literally 2 minutes. 2 minutes. Why are they not just making extras of these? Because more often than not, they're just getting bought up by bots. They're still not putting limits on things. And the only time they did put the limits on things was that Euro Disney collection that you can only buy if you're based in the UK, France, or Belgium.
And it's only just started to sell out. Like, I mean, the size, I think extra small is still there and triple XL is still there. And that's been the case since about Wednesday of last week. But, you know, I went on first thing Tuesday morning. I was and didn't buy the key ring that I wanted because I was like, I don't want the jumper to sell out. So I just bought the jumper. You know, and had I realised...
Is that what you said? Like,
yes, like that.
And your family was like, ew.
No. See, the thing is, thankfully, they were on the school run. So no one heard my meltdown. But I would have bought more stuff, but I was, you know, I've been there so many times where I've tried to buy something and it's in the basket and you go and check out and it's not in your basket anymore, that I just went just buy it, not realizing the chaos that was inflicting elsewhere in the world. And that's the reason why I purposely didn't say Shop Disney, because I've had my own issues with it. But you're right in that, especially with Spirit jerseys, I mean, what are they, about 50 like pounds normally?
£50, £60
€60. So are you honestly telling me that if they'd have bought 5,000 Hocus Pocus Spirit jumpers and they sold 3/4 of them, that they wouldn't have made a profit if they'd have sold the last lot at half price in the Christmas sale because it was a Halloween item?
The thing is, like, with that sort of stuff, it doesn't even have to be half price. Like, 20% off, that gets you. Yeah. Like 20% off, you're like, oh my god, that's so cheap. Gotta get it now.
They're not gonna be they're not gonna be left with stock that they're making a loss on.
But the thing is,
that's the point.
That they are selling, they would sell it, because you think about all the bots and the resellers, people go on eBay and buy them. Like they would,
that's the problem.
The problem is I just don't think Disney give a shit.
No, that is the underlying problem, is that Disney do not give a shit. But like the thing is as well, like they're so happy to make shite products. Like, even from working in the store, the amount of shit they make that ends up going to, like, 70% off, and they're like, it's a write-off, who cares? And it's like, just care about the stuff that'll make you shit tons of money. It's not that hard.
Yeah. When they decided to do a plush of every single character of Monsters University that even was in the movie for a split second, they made a plush of every single one, and we sold them all for 50 cents because nobody was buying them because nobody wanted all of these plush.
Or, like, Good Dinosaur, that was a movie aimed at like under 5-year-olds, and every single toy they made was like plastic. Ryan
is after
should
that.
Have been like soft toys and this and that, but all the merchandise was like this really hard plastic with really pointy tails that these 3-year-olds were coming and going, I want that, and the parents were like, fuck off, you're not.
I will vouch with that, because we bought some of my son the Good Dinosaur stuff when he was into it.
Yeah, you see what I mean? Like,
a lot of that stuff was quite pointy and
yeah, that's
dangerous.
What I mean. And then it all went off, and then it all went 70% off, because the people that wanted merch didn't want either that for their 3-year-old or that for their like Disney collection, because it wasn't good enough to put in a distant Disney collection because it was like a plastic dinosaur, and it wasn't good enough for a 3-year-old because it was dangerous.
Yeah.
I just thought it was
funny. But the thing is, spirit jerseys have been around since what? Like 2017, even before then? Like, and they have just become a thing. Like, everybody is, maybe not everybody, but like a lot of Disney fans are obsessed with spirit jerseys. Like, I know there's at least myself and two other people on this that have quite the collection of spirit jerseys and will pick them up as and when they get released.
Yeah,
like,
Mr. D, they're... how many have you got nowadays?
Hang on a second, let me just count them. Approximately zero.
Oh.
My Bebo's gone crazy with people telling me to buy spirit jerseys.
But like, Nick, but you were curious and you put them off for ages and you finally got your first one this year. Are you converted?
Yeah, I mean, I like them. I will buy additional ones when I see ones that I like, but now I bought that Disneyland Paris one, might put me off a little bit longer. I haven't got it yet, of course, but that's not spirit jersey. But yeah, I see the appeal. I do think they are expensive for what they are, because they are quite a thin jumper, but I can understand the appeal, and they are comfortable.
It's the comfiest item of clothing I own, for sure.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to buy it.
12 pieces of clothing I own, yeah.
Hang on, Dan's really quiet. I've never heard from Dan about spirit jerseys. Dan,
no,
spirit jerseys.
Did anybody notice that Dan hadn't said anything until Kate slagged off the Good Dinosaur? Yeah. And then Dan sat.
No.
I don't care about Splash Mountain, but Good Dinosaur.
You pressed a button there, Kate.
It doesn't get much love, so it, you know, it is. It's a good film.
Oh, it's a beautiful
movie.
Yeah,
it's a Good Dinosaur.
Yeah,
it is.
So, can I just check? Were you slating the film, or were you?
No. I meant like the merch. Like the merch. The entire merch line was awful. The whole thing
that.
Was bad.
Dan, you went like proper like Southern. Can I just fucking check something?
This is what happens. You hang around me. You suddenly think you're Southern hard enough. Roy.
I haven't got. So I've got the same number as Paul.
All right. Fair. Dan's just warming up his jet ski. He's coming across to Ireland to sort Kate out.
4 hours.
Yeah.
Good luck. I can't leave my plane to you. Good luck to you again. Fucking me.
Yeah. True. Right. Yeah. So Shop Disney is what's pissed me off, and their complete ineptitude of having the right amount of stock for things. Right, Kate, take us home.
Well, I have a list. So,
hang on, let's just, okay.
No, so like we had that overlying thing of like letting cast members go. And so specifically like Streetmosphere and that kind of shit, like of all the entertainment to let go, why let go of the entertainment that's outside? But then the other thing is just like, I was so disappointed with how, not now necessarily, because Disney are handling COVID pretty well within their two parks that are open, but like their reaction to COVID in the first, I think, was just a bit delayed and a bit sad. Like when Walt Disney World and Disneyland California closed, like they were like, oh, we're closing in 4 days time, let's get everyone together and group them really close together and let's have everyone like say goodbye to the characters and let's have everyone do this, and you're like, fuck off, people are dying. Like, I know that's like an essence of just America in general, of we don't understand what's going on. But like, I felt like Disney as a company should have been more like, oh, we should just close like for the safety of everybody. Like, I feel like they just didn't care.
You know who was in the mix, don't you? On all of, in those goodbyes. Josh D'Amaro, the prick.
But he's a good looking guy.
Who was there?
Who cares? You know, he's just so nice.
Ryan, is it really bad that whenever I hear somebody say the phrase, people are dying, which is obviously not a very nice phrase. All I think about is the song from South Park, the movie.
Oh, it's a classic.
But yeah, like, I know what you mean, Kate, because I remember seeing vlogs from like 2 days before Magic Kingdom closed, and it was just like everybody crammed, like no one was wearing masks, like everybody was like climbing on top of each other to get a view of Happily Ever After before the park closed. I'm like, what's wrong with you?
Yeah, and like, I can't really be like, I can be mad at Disney World now, but like, okay, like they opened because the company will lose money or whatever, I don't care. But like, you also can be mad at like the complete, like the amount of guests that are going and are like, oh my God, Disney, and bringing their babies and their children. And I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? Get in your house. You have like 2,000 people dying every day. What the fuck are you doing next to the mat, like, in Magic Kingdom? It just makes me annoyed.
I think it was hard because at the time, so you know, going back to March, it was all still very new. And we didn't really, if only.
Oh, you want to go back to March?
Yeah. That's
then but then I could do stuff differently. That's why. I could make Boris Johnson shut down 2 weeks early for a start. But, you know, going back to then, at that time when the parks were closing, it was still so... I mean, even here, like, we were told it was the flu. We were still being told it was the flu. We'd had it and not even realise it because we was like, oh, we had the flu. We didn't have the flu, but you're saying COVID is the flu, so we didn't have COVID. Well, we did because they didn't know what the symptoms were. The whole thing was weird. And I mean, I had an old friend of mine flew out on the 13th of March, got to Orlando and was then told, we're going to have to put you back on a plane. She was stuck in Orlando for 10 days. The theme parks closed the day after she got there. Or I think it might have been 2 days after she got there. She had like 2 weeks worth of tickets that she couldn't use. She couldn't get the money back because the parks were technically open for 2 days while she was there. And she was like stuck to a hotel until they could get on her flight home. Like the whole thing was like a logistical mess. But it should have been done, you know, it should have all been handled better. Of course it should have been. And they should have also, you know, announced it earlier. Because look, if they'd have announced it a week earlier, we're going to have to close by next week, it would have given everyone time to change things, to organise things better. Instead, they were like, oh, we're going to have to close, but everyone's here. And you know, the whole thing was just an absolute mess. The only positive, as Ryan kind of said earlier, is that since they've reopened, they do seem to have become more sensible about how they did things. But we weren't even told to wear masks in March. I know if you're, you know, if you had your brain, that would have been a logical thing to do, but they were still turning around saying, you don't need masks.
There was a lot of people, and I've got to be honest, I was one of them that were a bit sceptical about whether the masks really did anything, you know? You got to remember, I mean, it just seems so long ago now, but I can remember, you know, being pretty sneery about people that were wearing masks. I just couldn't see, how they were going to help.
Yeah,
it was a very different time, and also, like, as we were saying, it wasn't really a thing. Like, people just didn't, it wasn't communicated, it was a requirement. You kind of thought, well, okay, some people were saying it helps, some people were saying that it doesn't. There wasn't an awful, I mean, there's kind of science behind other things that had happened in the past, but for COVID in particular, there was no real, back in March, no real studies to kind of point out that it was the thing that everyone should be doing. But yeah it's, definitely since reopening, they at least seem to be a bit more sensible.
Do you know what annoys me more than even... And what you said, Kate, is true, right? I can see why that was so annoying. But do you know what's even more annoying than that? People now doing their first trips to Disney World.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. I'm like, one, you're an idiot. But two, like, you're not getting the best... You're not getting the best value for money. You're not getting the best experience. You're not getting, like, the true and tried Disney World experience. Like, why are you doing that to yourself? Like, one, like, why are you putting yourself in such a dangerous situation to infect yourself and others? But, like, also, why would you pay the full price to get less than half of what you should be getting? It's just, like, and, like, delays in queues and, like, socially distant character meets and you can't sit down for certain meals and no character meals and no buffets and no this and no that. And you're like, why the fuck would you bother? Just wait.
I mean, all of us on this podcast, I know not all of us have gone to Disney World, right? Well, all right, Kate hasn't been to Disney World. But You know, even if we hadn't of been there at some point, we've been to Disney parks. So we know what the experience should be like. We've got certain expectations to what to expect. You're not getting that at any park at the moment. So we can go to any of those parks and know that's what we're going to be missing out on.
Mm-hmm.
But people that are going for the first time don't. They don't have that kind of barometer.
No, like, it's not like the fireworks and everything. Like, just why?
Parades, like proper parades and proper meet and greets as well.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to take a selfie with Mickey Mouse in the background. I just don't.
Not for your first time meeting the main man, no.
No, exactly.
I think the thing that is pissing me off, so I, just for shits and giggles, because the Facebook groups for Disney parks are truly comical. And I joined a...
What's the weather like in 2 weeks' time?
Honestly. Will there be towels? Do I need to bring pillows? No, you got it. Anyways, I joined a Walt Disney World one. And I think the thing that pisses me off the most is there are so many people that are like sneakily taking their masks off to take pictures, and it's like then they're encouraging other people to do it as well, and I'm like, what are you doing, you gobshite? Like, just wear a fucking mask or don't go.
I don't care that no one's around you when you're doing it.
No, what it's the
makes
principle.
You what makes you more special than every other person that's paid their hard-earned money to be
genuinely
there?
Truth, but yeah, I'm glad we had a nice little rant there. That was good.
So just to finish off, the last question that we've all got to answer on our respective podcasts is, if you had one Christmas wish for 2021 or the future of Disney, what would it be?
I have one. Do you want me to go?
Go for it.
I really hope that the Marvel Hotel in Disneyland Paris, it opens, one, and is also what we hope it will be, because Disneyland Paris hotels aren't always fantastic. And I think that this one has been really hyped up to be, this is going to be a nice hotel. And like, this is going to be fun. And this is going to be different. And it's something we've not done before. And I just hope that it is that. And that COVID hasn't like stumped it too much. Like, it's a really specific one, but like, the hotels in Disneyland Paris are going to be so fucked for a while until this is all properly sorted. And to just think that this one hotel that actually I think had a great concept, and Hotel New York, I didn't stay there, but my family did one Christmas. They like really enjoyed their stay while
it was
still Hotel New York.
Situation?
No, I was in a different hotel.
Yeah, I was in the Cheyenne with me.
They, I mean, the thing was, they booked their trip and I was like, I don't know if I'm going to go or not. So you guys book. And then 2 weeks later, I was like, I'm going to go. And then I booked a separate hotel.
I mean, Kate kind of is the female version of Kevin. So I'm just...
What?
Just like,
I like
name wise.
Same,
like
same
what?
Same
she's older than eat. Come on.
I like more things on my pizza than cheese.
Debatable.
Mentally, yeah. So yeah, that's my main hope for 2021 is that it gets to open with everything that they plan to have, and that it gets a good reception, and that I maybe get to stay there. Maybe not in 2021, but eventually.
I think the reason why you should be optimistic about that is purely because of how far along they were before COVID.
Yeah.
So you'd like to think that most of the expensive stuff or stuff that's going to take a lot of time was already almost finished.
Yeah.
So now it is just, you know, finishing that stuff off. But no, I understand.
I really hadn't got a clue what I was going to come up with, but you've helped me there, Kate. I hope in 2021, Disneyland Paris fixes their fucking castle before the 30th.
Those fucking tiles falling off the roof! Jesus Christ, it's a health hazard!
Like,
fuck
the castle's in a shit show. Disneyland got a nice little castle facelift. I know the Walt Disney World one is debatable with a lot of people, and I don't know if I like it myself, but DLP has the prettiest castle, and I will fight anyone that tells me otherwise. She needs a facelift, though. Desperately. So I hope that the castle gets its facelift before the 30th.
If it doesn't, they'll be hearing from me. I'll tell you that much.
Kate, you're not helping this Karen persona.
Yeah, you don't want to.
But just like, if the castle's in such disarray that they can't even put Christmas lights on it because it's a health hazard, like, surely you have to reevaluate your situation and be like, shit.
The one thing that history's taught us is that for the big anniversaries, they do stuff to the castle to make it look pretty. But I agree, just like any woman as they kind of get, you know, more advanced in age, could do a bit of reconstructive work.
That's not making
I'm already joking.
That's where that
I know
ends.
It's not a visual medium, but if y'all could have seen mine and Kate's faces.
It's going to be a nice little boop, that little bit.
look, controversy creates cash, right? That's
there we go. Right. Well, thanks very much for joining us, gents. Do you want to plug your own podcasts?
Dan, can you plug the Flip Art Radio?
Don't make me do it.
Come on, talk about The Good Dinosaur.
Yeah, come on. Give us a review.
I'm gonna have to pass it over to Ryan to do that.
How long has Flip Art Radio been going now?
Don't say it, Nick.
I mean, I could probably plug Logan if you wanted.
Go for it. I mean, you do a better job than I would. Cock it up.
This is all part of our plan, you see. What's happening is what the Theme Park Trailer Show is getting more airtime.
yeah. Okay. Good tactic.
You can find us on our website, themeparktrailer.com, where we've got all of our podcasts and things. And we're on all of the podcast apps and devices where you can listen to podcasts. And you can also find us on Twitter at Theme Park Trader.
Very nice.
You can find us, just search for Disney Parks and Beyond on any kind of device that plays podcasts. And we're on Twitter at Disney Park Pod, I believe.
Twitter you seemed handle. Really unsure.
I've got too many Twitter handles, so I don't know. But it's something like that, Mr. D, isn't it?
Don't ask me. We've got more identities than Jason Bourne. I haven't got a bloody clue.
Sounds right.
It is true.
Either way, everything will be linked in the show notes. You can go and find the other two questions and the other two episodes that are on this as well. So everything will be all linked. Yeah. Oh, Katie, on mute.
I don't remember muting myself. Anyway, thanks.
It wasn't me. The Shaggy one said.
This podcast is part of the After Dark Podcast Network.